Welcome to the Compass Church podcast and thanks for tuning in. We hope that you enjoy the message that you're about to hear.
This week and next week, we are doing something a little bit differently. And that is that, you know, we're passionate about seeing our church united and we believe that God has positioned us for growth and we were experiencing growth. But like it says in Genesis 11, when the Lord came down and they were building a tower for the wrong purposes, the Lord said, if they continue to speak with as one voice, there will be nothing that's impossible for them to do. And so there is great power in unity for the negative, but also for the positive. And where there's unity, it commands a blessing. And so we have a desire for us as a church to all be on the same page. Some of you are still sussing Compass out. Some of you are very much at home. And so what we want to cover over the next 2 weeks is for everybody. So we want to make sure that everybody is on the same page before we continue to move into what we believe we're moving into, an accelerated growth season. And I think it's really important that we all clearly understand who our church is and what we're about. So maybe the next couple of weeks might consolidate for you as to God speaking to your heart, as to making this your spiritual home. And so we're going to facilitate, in essence, a modified version of a new course that we're launching in the life of our church. Anyone new that comes to our church, we would love for them to do what you're going to go through this week and next week, which is our DNA course. And so over the next couple of weeks, we're going to try and capture the heart and essence of who Compass is. And we want, I guess, for us, it's not your church, it's our church. Or even more personally, it's my church. This is where God has me for this season of my life, and he wants me planted so my roots go down deep and my branches go up high and I produce much fruit. And so we really want to try and communicate, and you're going to help us do this and refine this, but I really want to capture the heart and essence of who Compass is. And so Mike and I are going to be doing this together.
So to kick us off, I just need everyone to stand up just for a second. And I need you to go and find someone that you haven't spoken to yet today. That would be as in stand up and move. Could be someone you know, someone you don't know. Okay. All right. Hang on. That's not the only instruction.
There is more. There's more instructions. Listen up.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, yes. Yeah, after this. Yeah, thank you.
Okay, everyone, stop talking. It's my turn. Whoa, people.
Start singing, Michael. That'll get people's attention.
Okay. So, all I want you to do with the person that you are with or the people you're with that you haven't spoken to is I just want you to come up with two words to describe your experience of Compass. Okay? So whether you've been here for 2 weeks or you've been here for 10 years, I just want you to come up with two words that would describe your experience of who Compass is and what you think Compass is about, and just chat. You've got 30 seconds. Off we go.
Think music.
All right. So, that's good chatting. Good to see we've got that bit down pat. So if you want to go and find your seat or another seat, maybe you found a new friend. So when we were thinking about this course, there was a reason that we picked out the name for it as DNA. When we're talking about DNA, we're talking about a self-replicating material that's pretty much existent in all life forms. It's the carrier of the genetic information, it's distinctive, it's fundamental, it has qualities that really determine what that thing is that the DNA is in. I'm kind of all over the DNA thing. My dad is a genetic engineer and he's a professor. And so I printed out a lot of first and second year university lecture notes and handed them in as assignments when I was at high school. So I'm all over this stuff. But over the next couple of sessions, so today and then next week, we really want to give you guys the fundamentals of who our church is and what we believe, and we hope that when we say them, you'll be able to go, oh yeah, that's right, not, are you really sure about that? The distinctive characteristics and quality of who we are as a church. So this week we're going to be talking about who we are, we're going to be talking about our short history, where we are now, where we've come from. We're going to be talking about our deep purposes, and then we're going to give you and our mission, and we're going to give you a bit of homework to go away and look at the vision. And then when we come back next week, because you'll all be back next week, we're going to talk about what that that statement is that you're going to get to read. We're going to talk about some of the things, the intangible things about Compass, the things that are a little bit hard to put your finger on, but really are part of making Compass who we are and why we do things. And we'll be talking about our structure and our board and some of that other really fun stuff that I'm sure you're really excited about.
So we would love your feedback on today and next week, and there will be some homework for you to do this week. But we would love your feedback as to if you think there is anything significant that we've missed throughout this process. We're doing a modified version, so the DNA course that future attendees of Compass Church will do, it'll be a bit longer and more time spent on certain elements. We're going to try to capture the heart essence of the course in this. So we want to start at the beginning, which is our history. And for those of you who don't know, my background, physio, transitioned into being a pastor, Nat, within the marketing sector. And so we have two girls. And we were youth pastors for 7 years, was Michael's youth pastor during that time, then developed into best mates, and we've sort of stuck together ever since and done everything together. And then throughout our time, we transitioned to another church after that youth pastor role for 7 years and was an associate pastor at a church in Cheltenham for nearly 5 years. But it was in 2006, towards the end of 2006, that Nat and I, with a group of friends, we started to feel a bit of a sense of stirring that God was kind of speaking to our hearts about a change of season, change of direction, and that soon became really, really clear. And so, we tried to ignore it for a while, as you do sometimes when God speaks to you, because we're in P&O Fairstar, the fun ship. And when you're on the fun ship, you don't want to get off into a little dinghy and go sailing into the storm, right? But that's pretty much what God started to speak to us about. And we wholeheartedly believe to walk by faith, not by sight. And so, God really started to shake us and move us. Can I encourage you, don't let circumstance get your attention when God's trying to speak to you. Let's be in a position and space where we're constantly sensitive and open to the voice of God. We can be loyal to our own detriment. That's another sermon altogether. But loyalty is a high value that we should have and stick to. But sometimes those things get in the way of God speaking to us, and it takes circumstance to take us to the edge. So we go, God, I don't know what the hell's going on. What's going to happen next? And God goes, okay, now I've got your attention. And so, it was a bit like that, because we were just so loving where we were that God really clearly started to speak.
So then we decided to make the move. So we left, and we spent about 6 months just praying, just thinking, praying. We visited a whole myriad of churches. We had some great experiences. We had some really interesting experiences and some stuff in between. And then at about in 2007, we decided that there was eight of us that decided we were going to really move forward with this thing and plan a church. So it started out in our lounge room, in Hollymire Lounge Room. Few plastic garden chairs, and we gathered and we'd eat and we'd talk and we'd pray, and Phil would preach and my dog would run ragged around the room while he was preaching, and it was good times. And it actually, people started to come and we weren't really sure why, but they came and they hung around, and it started to actually look like a church. And then we had to start to look for a venue, because my lounge room was not very big. And so on a June long weekend in 2007, we went away and we prayed and we fasted, and we were really just seeking God's direction. And I think for us as a church, that's been one of the hallmarks of our church, is when we have significant decisions or we're faced with significant challenges, we stop and we pray and we fast, because we believe that there's great power in that. And like us as blokes are doing that at the moment for our church and our families. So we went and had a look at the start of June, on June the 12th, we went to look at the theatrette at Glen Ira Town Hall. And it was pretty cool. It was a big step up from my lounge room. The challenge was we needed money to hire it and pay for the bond. And we had a bank account with $0 in it, literally $0. And so we were stuck. None of us were in a position to personally fork out for it. And we went to work. We were working at the same place at the time. There's a story there, isn't there? So we got to the gym that we were working at, and a guy who doesn't come to our church, has never come, came and gave us a check for $6,500. And that paid our first 3 to 4 months of rent, and it also paid for the bond. Phil went and spoke at a youth camp. They had no money, so they couldn't pay him, but what they gave him was a big self-enclosed, fully sealable, lockable trailer. So that trailer transported all of our sound gear, all of our church equipment, for the next sort of 7 or 8 years, and is now being used by another church. One of the other guys who was one of our founding members, Sean, was opening up a cafe, and he said a certain coffee brand was trying to get in on his cafe, and he said, okay, well, I'll use you, but only if you give a coffee cart and a coffee machine to my church for nothing. And they said, okay, and that's the coffee machine we're all enjoying now. So we had a building, we had some finance, we had a trailer, and we had a coffee machine, so we were ready to start church. Oh, we had vision as well, don't get me wrong, and faith.
Word from God.
Yeah. But, you know, the coffee machine. And so the only thing we really didn't have at that stage was a name, and so Phil had been fasting and praying, and we came up with Compass. So for us, it's one of the really important things, why we are called who we are and how we got there. So there's a little video for you to have a look at.
We do think it works, and you know, there is good reason for a lot of what we do. Some of it might look a little bit haphazard and random. You know, we may appear like that, but we take the mandate that God has given to His church seriously. You know, and maybe something as simple as the name of the church. But as you can see, God clearly spoke to us in that and through that. And you know, for us as a church, I really wanted to have a foundational scripture of what is this church going to be built upon. God, if you're calling us to an adventure and a challenge of this measure, we want it based on your word. Everything we do, we should get a word from God. And I was driving home from the Brownlow count one night with some mates, and there was works on the Monash Freeway, and I'm just praying about, God, what's the foundational passage for our church. And there's went through this really dark section and then one of the overpasses. And then as I came out of it, they had like roadworks on, so they had those kind of like lights with the balloon thing at the top, super bright. So kind of came out, I looked up and I just like was confronted with almost daylight out of darkness. And I just felt that, you know, the Holy Spirit just said, Phil, that's what Compass is going to do. See people come out of darkness into light. And whether they realize they're in darkness or not is not the point. When they come into the light, they will know. And so, and when I got home, I'm going, God, you know, that's incredible. Jesus, the light of the world, all that kind of thing. But actually, the Lord led me to 1 Peter 2, 9 and 10, which is our foundational scripture. And I'd love to read it to you. And it is, but you are a chosen generation. This is, I believe, God's word to us as a church. So this is our passage. This is something that we can build and base our lives upon, that this is what and who God has called us to be as a spiritual people. But you're a chosen generation. Each of these phrases are just so rich and pregnant with meaning that it is a whole sermon series in itself. But you're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people but are now the people of God, who had not attained mercy but now have obtained mercy. And, you know, that's kind of our foundational scripture amongst other confirming scriptures that God gave us throughout the time. And later in this session, we'll come back to, say, the mission and vision, which are obviously imperative and vital to any organization, but any church for that matter. We'll come back to that in a minute. But it was in 2007 that we felt, you know, the facility was sorted. God had provided, miraculously confirmed that. So it was October the 7th in 2007 that we had our first official service. And it was exciting, and it was a great day, jam-packed, lots of friends and family and all that kind of thing. And, you know, 140-odd people jammed into the theaterette to help celebrate that. And then, you know, the next week we had 35. The week after that, 25, and, you know, we just wanted to put on our website, Melbourne's Fastest Declining Church, go us. But, you know, it really did take us a few years to find out who we're meant to be, the expression, our personality, hearing from God, just shaping and forming us into that personality and taste and see the good Lord is good, what taste and flavor we're going to be to our world. And I think one of the questions that we often ask ourselves, if we were forced to close down, would anyone know or care? And let me ask you that question today. If Compass closed down, would you know or would you care? And I think one of the things we want to get out of this course is that you kind of have a deep spiritual conviction that this is your home for however long God calls you to be here until he says otherwise, that there is a passion and a desire to fulfill what God has called us as a community of faith to do. And so we don't take that lightly. But the many things started to happen within those first couple of years, and it's just some of the shape and form of who we are. And we'll talk about the intangibles next week. But those things about making us who we are that maybe has drawn you here, that you've experienced, that it's kind of captured your heart, your mind, your spirit, as to why you're here, God started to grow and evolve those in our midst. And one of the things that we hold strongly to is an attitude of generosity. Once again, with most of our intangibles, we'd rather let our actions do the talking, that you would experience it before you hear us talking about it, that we would under-promise but over-deliver, that kind of thing. And so generosity is one of those, and also serving our community. So just to give you a little bit of an insight into, I guess, our heart for serving our community, I've got another video for you to watch.
Thank you.
That's a rough looking head, isn't it? Fuck, yeah. In my defense, I'd had a fight with poison ivy beforehand. I'm not sure what's going on. Sunburn.
Allergic reaction to having to think.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know what's going on there.
Just happens in front of the camera.
The good news is that compared to that, I look quite good this morning.
Well, mate, I think that's proof that you and I have got great heads for radio.
That is true. Very true. So as we said, like, we've always desired to just be a church that models generosity. One of the things that was one of our founding things we did was our month of generosity, which was we took everything that came in to church through our tithes and offerings and giving, and we gave it to community groups, we gave it to churches that were in need. We were able to refurb a kitchen for a church that has a feeding program. We bought a van for another church to transport staff. We were able to give to other local organisations and charities, and that was really pivotal for us to be able to do that stuff. And we held true to the deep conviction we had that we weren't meant to be building up a bank account, we were meant to be wise stewards with what God had given us, but we were meant to be generous and obedient. And when the time came, God made that known. He'd make it clear and he'd provide for us miraculously. It did take us a little while, but we started to outgrow the theatre at Glen Ira Town Hall. And we couldn't, they have a bigger hall there, but we couldn't get it on a regular basis. And at the same time, we also felt like it was probably time we actually had some office space. And so we began to look for that. And in 2011, we leased our first office space, which was in Centre Road in Bentley. And it was a tiny little office space right there.
It used to be a cartoon character place, so it was quite a bit of work to get it tidied up to transformed into offices.
It's true. It's much more creative those days. And then in 2011, in February, we had found another location, and so we loaded all the church on a bus one day. They didn't realise what was happening, and we took them to our new venture, and we went to McKinnon Secondary College.
So God was guiding and leading us. In 2011 was a shift for us where we moved to McKinnon, as Michael said, had our first service in the theatreette in the 3rd of April 2011, and we stayed there for 6 years. We moved to the hall at some point, but in that time frame, sort of 2011 to 2016, 2013 I should say, it was quite amazing, kind of the growth and the structural changes and the way God led us to bring the house into order. And, yep, you know, this is not a strong point of mine, so it's just incredible how God brought gifted, talented people to helping structure and process and system to us as a church. And we've seen growth as a result of that. And so, you know, that idea that you administrate for growth and you pastor it once you've got it holds very, very true. But we're just excited, like, you know, schools tour stuff that we'd started and Compass Community Care started to have an impact just in small ways in the community. We began our relationship with Malawi in Africa. We purchased land there, started to build a facility that is there now and work with some schools and things there. Youth ministry, kids and grommets ministries started to grow. Life groups started to grow. But the most exciting part for me was just the fact that amazing, incredible people, you guys started to actually come and rock up. And we had people that walked past the church when we were having services and, you know, for 2 or 3 years listening to the music and stuff and just wandered in and haven't stopped coming. And it's just really cool, just walk-ins into our offices and things. So, you know, we're incredibly excited about what God was doing, not without its challenges. A lot of things that we did wrong, we've learned a lot of lessons along the way. But we're so incredibly grateful to see the people that have come and to explore the whole God thing or reconnect with God after a long time and start to grow and develop, and our passion to see people become all that God has created and destined and purposed them to become. As you'll hear, that we're not about a big church, we're about big people. We're about you getting fresh revelation of the bigness of who God is and what he wants to do in your world, in and through you, and you will naturally go and impact your world. If you're having genuine encounters in this place with the creator of the universe, you can't not be unchanged. You can't go out and not impact the people that you connect with. And so, you know, we just, it's so grateful to see. As we grew, we moved into the hall, the main hall at McKinnon. So many other things happened, but also we actually were able to get our second office space because we outgrew the first one, and that was at 342 Centre Road, an old Combank, and we were able to sort of like fit that and start a feeding program in there for Compass Community Care and meetings and training and stuff. So things were just gradually growing. And I guess if we fast track to the end of 2016, It was where God started to stir our hearts again, kind of a similar stirring to what I'd experienced in the past, but different because God was starting to speak to us about that desire for our own space, which we'd never had because we'd always just given everything away, which defied all kind of logic from a practical point of view. If you're looking to acquire assets at some point, you should probably save for them. There's a thought. But in God, who knows that sometimes God works in the opposite way to how we think. And so we were just told give everything away, which we did. But at the end of 2016, for myself, Nat, the board, we really started to feel that God was starting to speak to our hearts about having our own space.
Yeah. All right, you do that bit, I'll do this bit.
Okay.
All right, good chat. Thank you.
I've been practicing this a lot. It's pretty smooth.
Stealth.
Shh. Shh. Okay. So at the start of 2017...
Now, sorry, mate.
Now.
Yeah, that was the cue, right? That was the cue.
Oh, wow.
That was supposed to be a really important moment, by the way.
Couldn't have made that much clearer. At the start of 2017, we had a board planning day. As a board, we had been fasting and praying. And we came to that day, and Phil came, and Phil essentially said, now's the time. And we prayed about that. Now's the time that we're going to start believing for a building. Now's the time I feel like God's shifting. For our church, it's our time to have a home that's not packed up into a trailer constantly. And so as a board, we prayed about that and we went, yep, we're on board. We really believe that this is the right time. So we came to you guys as a church and we talked about that and we asked you guys to pray. And we prayed and we fasted and we prayed and we fasted. And we just started to speak out what we were going to be believing for. We were going to be believing for a space where we could have the community come engage with it. We were going to believe for a space where we could run our training stuff. We were believing for a space where kids and youth would have great spaces. We were believing for... Can I tell you what the most miraculous thing we were believing for? We were believing for easy car parks because everywhere we started to look was out of control. There was no parking and the limitations around the zoning stuff and... So then Phil and Nat went on sabbatical in March and April last year. The day that he went on sabbatical, the first day, I got a notice to say we were getting kicked out of our offices. So that was going well with me in charge. And so I encouraged us to be praying. And so when Phil got back from sabbatical, I shared the good news with him that in 2 months' time we had to be out. But nothing was really coming up for us. And we really were believing that this was God moving and we were going to come to a time where we were going to be able to combine our Sunday and our space and our offices and all our programs together. And just nothing was available. We were searching high and low and we were talking to everyone we could. And on June the 20th, we through a random series of events, we came to look at this space. And when we were meeting the agent, we weren't even meant to be looking at this space. We thought we were looking at another space. He thought we were looking at one of this space. And we ended up coming and looking at this space. And then we, through another series of circumstances, we got in touch with the guy who runs it on behalf of the owners. And so just this crazy set of circumstances where we began these really bizarre set of negotiations where we essentially said, we've really got nothing at all. And they said, we want a lot. And somehow they changed their mind. God just made some very, very cool things happen. Where I can honestly say, as the person who was doing those negotiations, we were not smart enough to do this. This is a God thing to be here for us. And then on August the 12th, we met as a board. And we just had one question for Phil, which was, do you believe that this is our home? And Phil said, yes, I do. I've heard from God. I believe this is our home. So we moved forward on that. We brought you guys here to have a look at it. I don't know who was here that day where we came and looked at it, and it was all just office space. And then in August, we signed a heads of agreement. We started our lease in September, and then the craziness started, where we started pulling the thing apart and putting it back together. And then in 2018...
Yes! Yes!
Nailed it. Yes. Nailed it.
Thanks, mate.
In 2018, over Easter, we had our first service in here, and we had our official opening a month later. So it's been a pretty spectacular journey to get to here.
It certainly has. And that's just a very brief snapshot of the miracle that God has done, because we had no money in the bank, but yet somehow God was true to what He spoke to our hearts over 10 years ago. And so if God's spoken into your heart and it hasn't come to pass yet, but you've got that deep knowing in your knower that you just know, don't give up. Don't let go of that. It will come to pass. And so, you know, that's just some of the history of our church. And just want to start to quickly in the next probably 10 minutes before we wrap up is just take a look at the heart and essence of who we are as a church. And we're hoping that some of these statements are going to resonate with you, or if they don't yet, hang around long enough, and we believe they will. So one of the things we went through was a significant kind of reevaluation of our mission vision, and out of that we were able to develop a strategic plan. But what also came out of that with a consultant that helped us through that process, which was ridiculously helpful, he was able to try to capture, I guess, the heart and essence of Compass, and he put it into five statements, if you like, or comments, and he titled them the five deep purposes of Compass. And certainly as a board and the leadership that have looked at these, we believe they resonate. So you should have those in your notes. But just quickly, starting at the beginning, to present an uncomplicated, uncontaminated gospel, and that's our message. He asked me a question, Phil, if you had to say what's your product as a church, what are you trying to get out there? He said, you know, what is it? For some people, it's like they want to be known as a youth church, or they want to be known as the music church or whatever. And I just literally just said, Jesus. And he just went, really? And I went, yeah, we're just about Jesus. It's not complicated. It's not rocket science. It's just all about Jesus. And he kind of liked that, but he said just uncomplicated, uncontaminated. Number two, in an irreligious but respectful, family caring context. And that's our culture. And hopefully, if you haven't, that you will experience that. And we're going to talk more about that next week when we talk about those intangibles. And then number three, see people genuinely saved, activated, and fruitful. I mean, that's the desire we have as your pastor and as a leadership and board, department leaders. We desire to see you discover, develop, and succeed in your God-given talents and abilities. And we're passionate about that. Number four, maintain a kingdom heart. Again, something that we would rather you see as opposed to us talk about. Kingdom-mindedness is talked about a lot in churches, but actually action little. We'd rather do it the other way around, and hopefully we can actually show and see that. Number five, no compromise, that we are accountable, we're transparent, we're consistent, men and women of faith, of integrity, of character. We make mistakes, but we're big enough to own them and fess up to them and actually receive God's grace and forgiveness. A righteous man falls down seven, but gets up eight. And so, you know, we want to be a church of no compromise.
So for us, these are really important statements. And they work together like a pack, right? They, where one goes, they all tend to go. So what I want you to do is just for 1 minute, literally, I just want you to spin around, look forward, let right, back, wherever it is. Just find someone that you can just answer these questions with. I just want you to think about which of those things you have observed in your time at Compass. So again, whether you've been here for a week or you've been here for 10 years, out of those intangible statements, which ones do you think that we're nailing, and which ones, you know, so which ones have you go, yep, I've experienced that, or I've noticed that, or those ones ring true to me. So just find someone you can chat to. We've got 1 minute. You can just spin around in your seat or talk to the person next to you.
We'll do this. This is not going to take long.
Yeah.
Just fly through that. And that, I'll just condense that just to go listen.
Fifteen seconds. All right. So for us, those things will never change. They're at the very core of who we are. They're the very heart of who we desire to be. And we know that sometimes we nail those things. Sometimes, you know, we probably don't do so well in them. But that's our desire, is to stay true as a church And no matter what else changes, those things are going to be incredibly important for us.
That's right. And we'd love your feedback on that. So guys, please, you know, you're going to help us evolve this course if you like. So if there's something in that that really resonates or that we've not picked up on, again, please send it through. Obviously, a mission statement or understanding of what your mission, purpose, reason for existence is vital in any organisation. I think for Bible-based organisations that the mission statement should stem out of the Great Commission and the Great Commandment, and expressing that in the context of the community and the space and the time, the socioeconomic area, the geography of where you are. So, you know, finding out why God has planted us here, the purpose for us existing to be a New Testament church in a modern day context, part of that whole kind of review process helped us to refine that and reposition ourselves and get some clarity. So what we came out with, as many of you would know, you would have seen this before, but our mission is simply called to our world, igniting active faith with the pure life-changing truth of Jesus. And each of those sentences, again, are very pregnant with meaning and purpose. Those words have been chosen very carefully. So the reason Compass Church exists is that we believe that we're all called to our world, not just the green and blue ball we call the planet, but personalize that. You are called to your world.
Yep.
So much in this, but we're all in the places we are right now. And the Bible says that unless God is speaking to you about moving, just do whatever you're doing right now to the very best of your ability, that God has you there in that workplace, as frustrating and as annoying as it may be, or as successful as it may be, both have its challenges, but God has you there, not for the job, but for the people that you're around. So don't get fixated on the job, the promotion. Start to lift your eyes up and see the eternal destinies of the people that are around you. God has called you. He's gifted and wired you a particular way, and he makes you think and speak and act, and some of that needs to be modified and transformed and changed. We get that. But he's got you where he wants you to be because he wants you to impact your world,
yep,
the world in which you live.
The next phrase on there is igniting active faith. And we really believe that when the Holy Spirit, when God's Spirit dwells within us and is in us, that we come alive, that we truly experience life, that our own personal DNA, those things that God put within us before he even knew us, he says he formed us before we were even in our mother's womb. But that when the Holy Spirit gets a hold of us, it essentially lights a fire within us that can't be put out, that those gifts and those talents start to come to light, and we're called to use them to serve God and serve other people. The thing I think for us that we've always said is that faith is not a spectator sport, it's a participation sport. So our faith is not meant to be a passive thing, it's not meant to be something that we just keep to ourselves. Our faith is something that we spread out, that it affects our actions, it affects who we are, it affects what we do when we're here, but then when we're in our workplaces and when we're at home and when we're in our family, and that we should live that out, and we should be faithful, and we should be unashamed, and we should be uncompromising about it. The next one is with pure life-changing truth of Jesus, and that's a pretty simple statement. I mean, we believe that Jesus said he is the way, he said he is the truth, and he said he is life. And we're uncompromising about that. For us, that's a simple statement that just has such significance and such meaning.
So that's our mission, the reason for why we exist. Again, more than happy to have a conversation and talk about that, because there is so much more we could say. So mission is important, and the next thing that would naturally follow that is vision. And my preferred definition of vision is a clear mental picture of a preferred future. That we don't gather here today believing that our best is behind us. We gather together believing in God, that God's plan and purpose is that our best, your best, as a church, impacting our community, our world, the best is yet to come. And so we kind of, through the process we went through, was trying to actually hear from God and start to paint a picture, if you like, and a picture paints a thousand words. So we don't have a vision statement. We could develop one, that's fine. I'm not against them, and they're warranted and needed. But for us, for where we're at the moment, we felt that to develop a vision document, if a picture paints a thousand words, we needed more than a thousand words to paint the picture for what and who it is that God is calling us to become, and for us to sit in from, say, 10 years from now to look back and go, look what God has done. Mm-hmm. So your homework this week is for you to read that vision document. and we will email it to you, make it available to you. If Compass Church is your home, then you know you are doing yourself and others a disservice by not reading it. You'll get a clearer understanding of the direction that we've come from, but more importantly, the direction we're going in when you read that vision document. The podcast from June the 20th about the message of Mephibosheth, Jonathan's son who was left abandoned, and the story speaks for itself, will give you an insight into the kind of heart and church that God desires us to be, to see that vision become reality.
Yeah.
The numbers and the figures that are in there are indicative only. They're not the actual marker. They're big numbers, but let's not limit God.
Yeah.
So for some of you, you'll freak out when you see numbers that are in there. And so don't worry, the numbers that are in my heart and mind are much bigger than that. So happy to talk about that too. But like, you read this document about our heart and our passion for God, for people, and for what God desires Compass Church to be in this city and to influence the nation. So do your homework, because at the start of next week, we were going to talk about that, but just briefly. But if you have questions that come out of that, if something is not clear, or you kind of like just go, wow. Somebody once said to me, Phil, I always knew there was more to know. Now I know the more to know stuff. And that's a great kind of bit of feedback for us. But there may be something in there where you just go, God will speak to you as you read it and just go, wow, I've got the gifts, I've got the reason, I've got the talents to be able to actually assist to help that become reality. Mm. And most of my experience in church life, the best programs that have come out of churches have come from there, not here. Yeah. All right? So be open to God speaking to you as you read that document. And if it doesn't light your fire, if it doesn't blow your hair back, if you don't get excited reading that, we'll help you find a church where you will read the direction in which they're going and will get passionate and excited about it. That's how serious I am about what you're going to read this week.
Yeah.
It should capture you. It should grab you. It should go, you know what? I want to be a part of what God's doing here.
Yeah. So make sure you read it, because there's going to be a test. And if you fail, you've got to stay back late. So
there'll be detention.
I'm just saying. So that's sort of our session one for DNA. So looking at our history, looking at some of those things, our deep purposes, looking as well at our mission statement and why we're going the way we are. So next week, make sure you've read that vision document. We're going to be talking about that. Please email either me
info. It's on their notes.
Good. Info. Don't email me. That would be a terrible idea. Email info@compass and we'll probably give it to Sher to answer. And but make sure if you do have thoughts or questions or you want clarification on something, please, we want this to be, normally this would be done in a smaller group, so there would be more discussion-based stuff. We're going to be exploring next week our intangibles, those things that are hard to put your finger on but are a big part of who we are. We're going to be looking at...
Sorry, just I want to jump in there, because for me, when we talk about intangibles, thanks mate, we talk about values and culture is very, very important. And I think one of the things we've discovered is there's something about Compass Church that we find hard to articulate. We can put words to it, but 50 other churches in Melbourne use the same words. So how do you clearly differentiate the differences, the nuances of who we are? It's because of the people in this room and the dynamic of community and family and all that sort of stuff. So we need your help. So when you hear about that, if there's something that we haven't mentioned or don't mention, we'd love to hear from you of your experience of Compass about that.
Nice.
Carry on.
Okay. I've lost my spot now. So please make sure you're here next week. We want you to be a part of next week. Make sure you've read that document. Email us any questions. Can I just invite...
Thanks for listening to this podcast. We trust that you've enjoyed the message. For more podcasts, head to www.compasschurch.com.au.